Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The devil is always around and will never leave you alone. So how do you defeat him on a daily basis and succeed in the calling that God has for you? The key is to never surrender and work in the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil will try to steal your joy, health, and even your testimony, but he can never take away your salvation in Christ. Knowing that you are safe and secure in Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Pastor John shares some life experiences and the Bible verses that helped him not give up during the hard times. This message is an uplifting testimony and is entitled, Never Surrender to the Devil. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 30th, 2011. And I'm glad that you're here with us today. And I want to speak on a subject that God has given me, never surrender to the devil. Never surrender to the devil. Let's stand one more time and pray before we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. That Lord, I have this pulpit today that I can share and preach and minister from. And Father God, you're the one that keeps it alive. You're the one that keeps us open. And I want to take every opportunity today, Lord, to portray you as our Heavenly Father, loving Heavenly Father. And also, Lord, help us to learn from the Word, and after we have learned, to walk in it and be victorious. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Never surrender to the devil. After many years, my wife and I came to Christ in 1965. At that time, I was raked with fear of death, guilt, not feeling good. And when we gave our lives to Christ, then suddenly I experienced happiness for the first time in my life. Now, someone is saying this, are you a happy person? They asked my brother, is he a happy person? Well, for some reason, when God designed our faces, he did something with our muscles. And we kind of got stiff faces, but we are smiling inside. Now, let me read to you from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. And this is the good news, what happened when you get saved. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I don't know if you remember your salvation time, but I remember that I was so light. I felt so happy, so joyous. And God led us, after about 8 months into the Southern Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, of all the places, in the midst of his enemies, he had a table for me, in the midst of the Mormon center. And when we walked in, probably a small church, 20, 25 people. And everybody loved us. They greeted us, hugged us, talked to us, invited us. And suddenly, I felt, you know, wow, what a love. Let me have you turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I thought, you know, this is how life is going to be forever until I go to be with Jesus. That's what I thought. 1 John chapter 4, and we read from verse number 4. You are a God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know what is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not know not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We had a honeymoon. I didn't know that. I thought this is going to last forever. And, you know, people calling us, visiting us, pampering us. And I felt, you know, wow, where have I been? And then Satan showed up. You know, there's always a snake in the garden. There's always a mosquito around the corner. There's always a fly in your lunch. Now, we lived in this bubble of love probably about a year. And we went to church in the morning, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer, Thursday night visitation, Saturday working on the church building. We lived for the church, for Jesus. We loved it. And then one Sunday, we came happy to church, praising God, and the pastor got up. And after his sermon, he closed the Bible, walked down, and stood in front of the table. And he said, I got to tell you something. I am resigning today, effective immediately. I just sat there. What? Pastor resigning? I must have heard wrong. I did not know that these people that showed us about love, they had problems within themselves. And a group of them decided they didn't like this pastor. And they do what Baptists are well known for, splitting churches, having church fights, politics. And they work behind the scenes and put pressure on the pastor. They never told us. The pastor didn't tell us. We were kept in the dark. And I remember, I said, well, if he goes, I'm out of here. I'm out of this church. Forget God. I got offended. I walked up to him and said, okay, Pastor Robert, I'm out of here too. I don't want to stay. And this is what he did. He simply said, I want to tell you something. And I wrote it down. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't let this destroy your Christian faith. Serve the next pastor with your heart, with all your heart. And don't get bitter. And then he said, God will take care of me. when I leave. Now, I loved that man. He had tutored me for about 2 years. And I simply said, okay, I was crying. I said, okay, Robert, Pastor Robert, I promise you, I'll stay and I will keep my eyes on Jesus and I will serve God. Satan was defeated. If I would have left the church and be offended, you wouldn't be here today. My 38 to 39 years of ministry would not have been in existence. Let me take it out to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You got to remember, Satan is not one of us happy. He's an unhappy camper. And he wants everybody to be unhappy with him. We got to refuse and say, our future is bright. Yours is hot. Your future is behind you. Our future is in front of us. In verse number 8, we read this. Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, this could be offense. Having been in church for over 40 years, I can tell you this, that the spirit of offense is active in every Bible-preaching church. Everywhere. And the spirit of offense is active in every good marriage. Because he wants to break them up. And then we read this. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We see that. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Or because lawlessness shall increase, the love of many shall wax cold. Evil will increase. But he that shall endure to this end, the same shall be saved. We will be saved. This is not talking about salvation. Spiritually, we talk about being saved out of this mess. Now, I want you to understand, here I was now, but 1967, and I was just about 25 years old. Didn't speak the language that well. We had just arrived this country a few years prior to that. And I did not know where to turn or what to go. Now, God will always give you a message. And right about after this had happened in 1967, actually before this event happened with the pastor, before God had given a prophecy. Remember when we were Southern Baptist, didn't know about the Holy Spirit? And this prophecy came in from a friend, my wife's uncle and a friend. And they said it on a cassette message, audio cassette. And I wrote it down here. And this is the prophecy we got. This is what the man spoke. Behold, I, Jesus, am the bright morning star which shall guide you and give you light on your path through my own word. The Bible. Behold, on my hands have I written your names. I shall lead you on my own path, says the Lord. You shall surely encounter difficulties and dangerous passes. But then you shall remember that it is I that am sending you and no human being. And where I am, every gate shall be opened and every difficulty shall be overcome in the power of my name. Name of Jesus, in the power of my atonement at Calvary, says the Lord, hallelujah, your Redeemer, amen. Now, when I got that message, just before the bottom had fallen out, I said, well, that's nice. Didn't mean anything to me. I did not know that Jesus was warning me, you're going to have a rough road in front of you. It's not going to be a bed of roses. I will be with you. But you have to trust in me. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. It's John, the 16th chapter. Now, I understood the message intellectually, but emotionally, it just went over my head. In John 16, 32, we read this. Behold, the hour comes, yea, it has not come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I want you to see verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You and I are going to encounter a number of things on this earth. Sickness, heartaches, difficulties, loss of jobs, loss of income, all kinds of different tragedies. And the question is, are we going to be able to focus our eyes upon Jesus, keeping them on Jesus, and staying the course and finishing our race? I'm going to share with you in this sermon here, I shared a few things that we have encountered. And I want to share with you the pain of betrayal by a Christian brother who had been with me in revival meetings. Now, I never forget this. We took this man and his wife with us to Sweden in 1971. And we had marvelous meetings. And God was blessing us all over the place, and we saw all kind of miracles. This man and his wife went back to the seminary before we did. We stayed a little bit longer in Europe. And when I came back, he had talked to everybody, and he had simply spoken in such a way that I was hated when I came back. We came from a mountaintop and went into a deep hole. The pain of betrayal. When a Christian brother stole my business. Same trip when I came back, don't want to get betrayed there. But I had a little cleaning business. And I'd given my accounts, about 30 accounts, to a man that was in a seminary. He said, I will service them for you so you have them when you come back. When I came back and I called up my people, they says, well, don't come here anymore because we like the guy that you had to replace you. He stole all my accounts. The pain of betrayal. The professor at the seminary tried to kick me out of the school because I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that, but I was bruised. I loved the Lord. He was blessing me. And because I was blessed by God, they want to kick me out? Something is not right. The pain of betrayal. When churches inquired about me and I found out I'd been blacklisted at the seminary, who told them I was unfit for Christian service. I remember taking a deacon with me, my wife. We drove down to Golden Gate Baptist Seminary. And we had got an appointment with a headman there that was in charge of the alumni. And I walked into his office and I said, I want to know something. I said, what have I done? Am I a rapist? Am I a murderer? What have I done? Why have you blackballed me? He didn't know what to say. He mumbled. And he came out, well, you know, we don't believe in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you blacklisted me for that? That was painful. It was painful when churches looked at me like I was a sex offender. I didn't understand that. The pain of rejection by a church to become a pastor. When the area missionary came in on the day they're going to vote, standing up in the pulpit and saying this, okay, you heard this man preach, and but I want you to know this, before you vote, there are some things in his life that I'm not allowed to tell you. But I want you to know that there are some things in his life. And you should be warned before you vote. I needed 2/3 vote. I got single majority. And I drove home with my wife. We cried all the way from Lodi just to Rona Park where we lived at that time, my brother's wife. And she says, God, what is wrong? What's wrong with this picture? We love you. We get nothing but dirt. The pain of church splits. And the resulting loss of the building because we could not pay the rent. That's been a tool the devil has had on me for years. We work hard, put long hours in. Satan steals our money. Put thoughts in people's head. The pain of slander, being labeled anti-Semitic and shunned by friends. You know, amazing. We made friends. We had friends at the seminary. We made contacts. And they're so excited until they've been to our website and then they just cut us off. We're not Christian Zionists. And now they label us anti-Semitic. The pain of betrayal, when countless individuals walked away after investing hundreds of hours in them. People coming in with broken lives, and we work hard, and we help them out, and they get back on their feet. And they go, bye, don't need you anymore. The pain of getting kicked off radio stations for preaching the truth. I was on KFIA, flagship here in Sacramento. And one week I was given an audio cassette of a pastor, Leroy Lebeck, at Trinity Baptist, Trinity Church, which is a Pentecostal church, assembly church. He had just got back from Rome with a bunch of Assembly of God preachers, and they had had an audience with the Pope. And Leroy got so excited when he came back that he preached a sermon and said that Jesus cannot come back until we all have gone back to the mother church. I listened to that and I said, I can't believe that. We used to have a talk show, radio show here on KFIA. I got on there on a Tuesday night and I said, hey, guess what Leroy is talking about this week? And I exposed him. He didn't play little glimpses of it on the radio. The next day, I was terminated. That's how much power these bad guys had. I asked the station manager, he says, well, we don't want you on, you don't fit our format. Later on, I was 30 years of radio, we got on the stations. And we simply came to the point we couldn't afford them anymore. And I remember sitting at home and saying, God, where are you? I said, I've been on the radio, reached all these people. Is my preaching no good? What's wrong with it? Silence. But God had a better plan. Webcasting. I would have never got into webcasting. If I would have been still been on the radio, I wouldn't be webcasting today. God knew what he had to do. I'm just going to read some of the nations we are into right now. Because the United States, Sweden, Canada, England, Germany, Australia, Barbados, Singapore, Nigeria, Panama, Belgium, Hungary, South Africa, Korea, that's South Korea, the Philippines, Dominican Republic, Norway, India, Japan, the Russian Federation, France, Lithuania, Italy, Salvador, Netherlands, Spain, Ukraine, Switzerland, Mexico, Argentina, New Zealand, United Arab Emirates, Finland, Kenya, Poland, Brazil, Malaysia, Bulgaria, Austria, Pakistan, Turkey, Denmark, Israel, Romania, Iran, Thailand, Portugal, Trinidad, Qatar, Ireland, China, Egypt, Vietnam, Jamaica, Taiwan, Peru, Hong Kong, Saudi Arabia, the Czech Republic, Colombia, Indonesia, Chile, Nepal, Kuwait, and Tanzania, Costa Rica, and a few others. God simply did something with me. If he would have said, get out the radio, I would have said, God, no. 30 years, I'm good at it. But today, we got a webcasting. I was on local stations here and in another couple of states. Now, we can reach the entire world. And people in all these nations I just read off are looking at our material, watching our websites, our videos, and the list is increasing, the number is increasing. Yes, I was grieved to get kicked off the radio, but God had a better plan for me. The pain of receiving, dear John, letters, individuals who were dissatisfied with the church, and the last one, the pain of being told, get a real job, man. Be like us. Get off welfare and go to work. You lazy bum. That really helped out. Now, I shared all these pains to show you that Satan has been buffeting me for years, trying to break my spirit. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8, we have this here in the outline. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the wrong line, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. I've got to recognize, I come to the place now, recognize this, that this betrayal, these attacks come with the territory. This is combat. And Satan is not going to simply say, okay, give way for resurrection life of Jesus Church. Let EAUC run. They're doing a good job. The better job you do, the more resistance. If you do nothing, you will have a good time. You know, the devil is not down in the bars, the nightclubs, the whorehouses. He has demons down there. The devil goes to church. In church is where the battleground is. This is where he fights. And we got to learn to resist the devil. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I remember after that incident in Lodi where we lost the church fight, we were living temporarily, my brother and his wife. And we came back there, and I was depressed to the hilts. And my brother just looked at me and said, "Now, what's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm depressed. Look at this. Nothing is working." Instead of saying, "Poor John," he chewed me out. He said, "I thought you told me that God has said you're going to write some Bible studies."
I said, "Yeah, I should."
"Get with it. Start writing." I said, but I got no place to preach or to teach." He just told me, "Shut up, go to work. You got room and board for you here. Now you do your work." Christian Dynamics 1 in the beginning, the others, were written when I was in the valley of sorrows. That's what I began to write. God has made my brother and me fighters. Praise God, our wives are fighters too. They've been tough women. And in 1 Peter 5, verse number 9, we read this. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We are to resist steadfast in the faith. Now I'm resisting steadfast in the faith. This week I got a call from the landlord. "I'm hurting for money. It's the end of the month. You haven't paid a dime yet. We scraped up $1,000. I'm resisting steadfast in faith. Tomorrow is the last day. We got to come up with the rest of it. We don't have it. I don't have it right now. God has it. His people has it." Now, I could simply break down and stay home today and say, "I don't want to go down to church. I'm depressed. We might not make it. I don't want to get on a phone call like this. I'm not going to do it." But I simply said, "I'm going to give it my best shot today. We could have another service. We're going to be back here next Sunday. I don't know how, but we're going to be back somehow." You got to learn to fight, not to cave in. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's where we want to go. To be perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we're moving into the end times, as we see all things happening around us, do you think that fair weather Christians are going to be able to stand up and say, "We have the truth"? They will cave in. It's going to be men and women that have gone through the valley of sorrows and come out, that will stand and say, "I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know one thing. I'm going to keep my eyes upon Jesus. And through Jesus, we will be victorious." I'm not any better than anyone else. I am not any stronger than anyone else. The one that made me strong is Jesus. But why did we stand? Why have we been able to stand? Because the Holy Spirit within me, my commitment to Christ, and I hate the devil. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. That's Galatians, the second chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 19. Galatians 2:19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we need to be crucified to the flesh and to simply say, my reputation is not important. My personal life is not important. Jesus is. And through him, we're going to move on. Turn to Luke chapter 4. How did Satan get defeated by Jesus? Well, we find in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, Jesus defeated Satan. And you and I can do the same thing. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he after became hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that he be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus didn't argue with him. He said, it is written. The devil takes him up into the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them. For that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore worship me, all shall be yours. Take a shortcut, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. Just bow down and worship me once, and I hand over everything to you. And Jesus answered and said to him, get you behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is written. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answers unto him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. D.L. Moody, Dwight Moody, the great evangelist in the last century. He was busy in Chicago. That's where he started out. And God began to move in D.L. Moody's life. And he got called to England to have revival meetings. And he came to England, and the Holy Spirit broke out all over the place. He had tremendous meetings. These were the days before the telephone. These were the days before anything, you know, we have communication. So the word came back to Chicago that Moody's having revivals there, and people are coming by the tens of thousands. And I want you to hear me now. Hundreds of the pastors in Chicago gathered together, Baptists, Presbyterians, and the different denominations, Lutherans. And they simply said, you got to stop this Moody. And they wrote a horrible letter and sent it in mass to every church in England, saying that Moody was unfit for service. He was a charlatan, and they should close the meetings down immediately. It took about 6 or 8 weeks for the boats to get back to England. If you read D.L. Moody's biography, which is a very moving biography, he was devastated. He said, what did I do wrong? What crime have I done? His crime was, he walked with Jesus. He was successful in Jesus. That is a crime the devil will lay on us. He simply said, I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to keep on preaching. He came back to the United States, traveled to just about every state in the Union, and he outlived the jealous, petty pastors in Chicago. He outlived them. We got to learn to resist the devil. How do we defeat him? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm just going to give you an outline here. This is something that you need to study yourself. And really take time with. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you pick it up in verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. What you got to do is you got to simply say this. I'm going to lay aside all sin. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to be walking in the Lord. Then we read verse 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. If you so be, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Have a sincere desire to have things of God in your life. A desire. Recognize that you are living stones. Verse number 4. To whom coming as the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, weren't the also contained in Scripture? Behold, a laying sign and chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes him shall not be confounded. And to you therefore which believe he is precious. And to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, when also they were appointed. Now, we got to recognize now, you are a chosen generation, living stones. And then, the next thing, and that is simple this, we got to take our positions in Christ, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past with other people, but another people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are a royal priesthood. We are kings and priests with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, abstain from moving in the flesh. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strengthen and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in a day of visitation. Don't move in the flesh. Somebody says something to you. Don't let it explode. If somebody throws a grenade into your house, and the devil says, now get offended. Throw you a grenade at the other guy. He deserves that. Now you're in a sandbox, fighting, throwing sand in the eyes of each other. And the devil says, good job. Great job. You just killed your testimony for today. Now we have a tough one. Submit to laws. Verse number 13. Submit yourself therefore to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to the governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for cloak or maliciousness, as the servants of God. My wife and I have some close friends that we have known for a number of years. And the man decided that he was not going to pay income tax any longer. He said, I'm not going to pay for the abortions. I'm not going to pay for the wars. I'm a sovereign person. I don't have to pay taxes. We're not going to do it. His wife went along with him. So they were doing great. For 20 years. Actually 19 years. Then the hammer came down. He was arrested. She was arrested. Now these are good church-going people. Loving and kind family people. And they were threatened with 15 to 20 years in federal prison. The lawyer told him, take a plea bargain. Plead guilty. Well, at this time, I have told people this, if you want a prison ministry, don't pay your taxes. But if you don't want to have a prison ministry, pay your taxes. It ended up, they got sentenced to about 2 years in prison. She got sent out someplace. He got to sit another place. And here they were now. They had fines to pay, sitting in the clink, humiliated. And then somebody heard about them, started a petition drive that they were going to have a grand jury convened and they're going to go after the federal government. Guess what happened? Both of them ended up in solitary confinement. 24 hours a day. And it was cleared up. Now, the wife sat, I believe, for 60 days in solitary confinement in a cell with no windows, no visit, taking everything away from her. She sat there for 60 days. Now, why was she punished more than him? They're out now. I talk to them. They are broken. But you see, if you and I are going to function within the system, that doesn't mean that we obey laws of killing babies and stuff like this, or if later on it comes down to that, you know, they ask you to do illegal things. But if you want to work in the system, respect it, pay the taxes, and we can work within the system until it comes to the place we have to get out. Respect and honor people around you. Verse number 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now is the first one we should honor. Husbands, honor your wife. Wife, honor your husband. Honor one another. And then, submit yourself to your employer. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also the forward. You work for a nasty, ugly guy? Submit to him. Why? We read on. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it? If when you be buffeted for your fault, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable God. For even hearing the word you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps. Now, This is what God did in my life. He simply humbled me before all these experiences. And I come to a place right now. I have no reputation. And I don't care about my reputation, but I care about the gospel coming out. Here's some of the victories. Hundreds of people were saved at a meeting in Southern Baptist churches from 1970 to 73. Thousands of people were saved during our revival crusade in Sweden and Finland from 1971 to 1983. As far as we know, there were physical healings, about hundreds when people were healed and able to return to work. Demons were cast out from thousands of people with the end result. They were healed mentally, physically, were able to function well and have an abundant life. We have produced books, audio cassettes, CDs, DVDs, which have been sold to tens of thousands of people. 30 years of radio broadcasting touched the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in different states across the country. We've been on the internet with a website since 1997. Have you been webcast since 2008? Many marriages have been restored through our deliverance and counseling programs. People have been delivered from alcohol or the drugs, while homosexuals have been set free and able to live a normal lifestyle. One that I remember came in, young boy, molested. He was about 25 years old when he came in. Hardcore homosexual. And we told him, you can be free. He said, help me. He was set free, married one of the gals in the church, and they had about 7 or 8 children. They're doing great. I can look back with no regret and see that God has been more than good for all these years. He's been very, very good. Now, never surrender to the devil. Let's begin in Revelation 20:10. Revelation 20:10. This is the good news. When you have the devil showing up or demons showing up, this is a verse you should read. Now, let me get your attention. Let me get your attention now. The devil is going to sneak up on you. He will use your husband. He will use your wife. He will use a friend. And they will come up and get you offended. Now, you know, when they hit the button of offense, begin anger to rise, right? And the demon says, good job. Increase it. That's the time to say, hold it. Get your Bible out. And read this verse. And the devil that is seen that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Tell your partner, your husband, or wife, whatever it is, before we fight, hold it. Let's read this verse first. With the beast and the false prophets are, and you'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. You read that verse, and you need to remind the devil and demons, this is where you're going. You're knocking the tar out of them. You don't have to fight after that. The devil is a loser. His future's behind him, as he and the fallen angels have all been descended to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now turn to Revelation 19:19. More good news. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against it, set to the horse and against his army. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them not to receive the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped the image. These were both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, a good news, when we see the Antichrist coming up on our television screens, and the false prophet, we can simply point our finger and say, hey man, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. We need to go out and fight. We need to know that we're going to win. Now the devil can never take your future in heaven away from you. Turn to John 10 and verse number, that's the Gospel of John chapter 10. Let me get there to see if I got the right stuff. John chapter 10. Yes, it's right. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Years ago, we ran Lois Armacher's testimony in the Dove magazine. And Lois started out as a young girl, accepted Christ, and she loved the Lord, faithful, active in church, and so on. And then one day, she got offended, and she left the church. She got a rebellion, started drinking, smoking, married the wrong person, had three children. All three children murdered by someone else. Husband died. And this is what the devil told her. You're lost. Don't even try to pray. You had it. You're too far gone. One day, she decided, I'm going to seek God. She came to our church, and she believed in lost and saved and saved and lost and saved, no in and out. One of the first times, we just had a very simple prayer. Now, she smoked, I don't know how many packs a day, but she was a chain smoker. One little simple prayer like this, and she stopped smoking. She didn't have a desire for it. She's now got more than 22 years in service of the Lord. And God's restored what Satan stole. But I want you to notice, Satan can never take away your future. If you get depressed, if you get down in the dumps and things happen, remember this, it is Jesus holding you, not you holding Jesus. If you don't know that, you will be defeated. The only thing that the devil can do is to steal your joy, your health, your testimony, and your eternal rewards. John 10:10. Have you read this? The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now the devil can steal that from you. If you let him, I could have simply said, well, I've suffered so many different things that I'm just going to give up. You don't. Then quickly turn to Genesis chapter 3. Deception is Satan's main weapon. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Deception. Many of you have been through deliverance. Deliverances were successful. And you were clean. And then the devil came back and says, well, you know, it's not wrong to have a little stimulus. You know, if you go back on coffee, if you go back, you know, on a little bit of this, you go back on that and so on. And so what happened is this, that you get cleaned up. You go back out, you stay clean, and before you know it, you have a bunch of stuff clinging to you. And you simply say, well, you know, I don't know about this. Satan's weapon is deception. If you give in to it, He will deceive you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. At Ephesians chapter 6, you're not going to lose your salvation over that. But you're going to lose power. Because you see, when we compromise, we lose respect in the spiritual world. When we compromise, the respect is gone. Remember what the demons told this guy, or these men, in the book of Acts. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And he turned on them. And they had to run out of the house naked and wounded. Close again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. We read this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want you to think now as we close this here about your funeral. The bad news is, every one of us here is going to have a funeral. The good news is that we were not going to be there. If you're saved, you're not going to be there. You're going to be in heaven. Your body will be there. But at your funeral, how do you want people to talk about you? Do you want people to simply say, well, the guy took a lot of beatings, and he stood. He was in church. He witnessed. He prayed. He gave. He served God. It didn't matter what they did on him. He finished. Is that how you want to be remembered? Or do you want to be remembered as, well, he was kind of a flake, you know, sometimes he was this, sometimes that. Sometimes he thought this, you know, he was in this project here and that project. He was just all over the map, but he was a nice guy. You know, the world is full of nice guys. Today I want to challenge you. How do you want to finish? Plan your funeral today. And simply say, this is what I want them to say about me. I'm standing. I will continue to stand. Come hell or high water. And when I'm done, they're going to say, he never wavered. He never changed. But he finished. And there was no compromise. Years ago, he visited my uncle and his wife, and they were famous for their homemade wine. And everyone that came to visit them had to taste their homemade wine. My wife and I kept them many years. And my uncle said, look, man, we're doing the best wine here in town. We want you to taste it. And I said, I'm very sorry. I don't drink. I don't touch alcohol. I'm done. He says, but you can't do that to me. You know, this is what we're doing. Just one time, just take a glass, man. He was getting hot now. I said, no, sir. I will not. I didn't compromise. And I kept my testimony. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I love you, but you sure can set things up at times. Father God, I had to preach this sermon. As we are financially so weak, Father God, it takes a lot of guts. But I thank you, my Heavenly Father, right now, that I can stand here today and say this. We are going to have the victory. We will have a victory, regardless what is thrown at us. And I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl watching us right now, Lord. Those that are here. That they will have a deep thought. And simply say, I'm going to plan my funeral today. Father God, an invitation. Let men and women come up to the elders and the deacons and say, help me to pray. I want to plan my funeral. Now I'm going to do a prayer today to settle that. This is how I'm going out. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you right now. In Jesus' name. If you're not saved, you're watching us. You might be here, you're not saved. And you simply ask this, how can I be saved? I don't have what you have. Just tell God, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And right now I repent of my sins. Jesus, come on in. Come on in and be my Lord and Savior. And He will. Today, let's have a lot of funerals up here. Let me see people come up, plan a funeral. As the elders and the deacons are here, you come right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, "Never Surrender to the Devil." When Pastor John gave his life to Christ, the first couple of years were like a honeymoon, and then he was thrown into fierce spiritual combat that was mixed with sweet victories. The peace of God was a sustaining factor as he realized God had made a commitment, and it wasn't Pastor John who was hanging on to God, but it was Jesus who refused to let go. The devil is always around and will never leave you alone. He will try to steal your joy, health, and even your testimony, but the key is to work in the power of the Holy Spirit. This uplifting testimony emphasized how important it is to never give up and surrender to the devil, because he is just a loser who can only steal through deception and temptations, but we can be victorious through Jesus Christ. Do you have an ear to hear with? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1275. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.